This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Good afternoon. It's me, Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Enterprise Explores. This is the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines down to the bottom line. Today, we'll be exploring the state of the tech startup ecosystem and how the funding and investment narrative within this space has evolved over the years. Helping me with this conversation will be Pete Murray, country manager at Amazon Web Services, AWS Malaysia, and emerging markets. We also have Kamarul Mohammed, the founder and group CEO at Aerodyne Group, a Malaysian-based tech startup that's ranked as the world's number one drone service provider, and Kylie Ung, managing partner at 500 Global, a venture capital firm with $2.4 billion in assets under management. So over the years, Malaysia has emerged as a hotbed for tech entrepreneurs, fueled by a combination of government support, access to funding, and a growing pool of talent. However, this transformation didn't happen overnight, as we've been seeing how the tech scene here has moved from an early stage to now becoming more recognized in the global startup landscape through strategic partnerships, regulatory reforms, and a shift in mindset towards embracing risk and innovation. So on the show today, Pete, Kamarul, and Kylie, they're going to help us break down the importance of establishing partnerships with tech companies, the challenges faced by entrepreneurs within this space, and the future of Malaysia's tech startup ecosystem. And if you do have any thoughts on this topic, get us on our U-Mobile WhatsApp number 018-789-8899. Reach out to us on X. We are at BFM Radio. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's great to have all three of you in the studio at the same time. How are you all doing?
Yeah, good.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Well, we don't get this opportunity very often to have the three of you sat down in the same place. All three of you moving around quite a lot. Kylie, you're very hard to pin down. Kamarul, you also. And Pete, where have you flown in from today?
From KL, but a couple of days ago from Houston.
All right, see? Okay, let's kick it off with a fairly simple question. I'm going to start off with you, Kylie, but it's obviously not an easy answer. From your perspective, when you're nurturing startups, how do you identify and foster these potential partnerships that align with your mission and contribute to a startup's growth trajectory?
Yeah, so I think because 500 Global had the benefit of going through different phases of investing in startups, you know, like 11 years ago when we first started investing here in Southeast Asia and specifically in Malaysia, a lot of the startup ecosystem that was very nascent. So the whole idea and all startups are very young, right? But fast forward to now, like the first 50 investments we've done, like five of them have become $1 billion or more. Three of them have gone public, you know, popular names like Carsum and Grab or Carousel. Like these are all companies that we've experienced seen growing, right? So when you ask me this question, 11 years ago versus now, it's very different. Mm. So when you're talking about 2024, what we need to nurture is connectivity between the whole portfolio of very senior, kind of like mature startups, as well as the younger ones. So there's a lot of transference and knowledge between the portfolio. Mm. Now, the second thing when you think about partnerships is that the ecosystem had many different partners grow with, right? So for example, with Amazon, like we've had long-term partnerships with both firms on the US side and also all around different parts of the world. So they've always been there to actually support startups with advice and also like some kind of like, whether it's cloud or other kind of technical services to help them kind of grow. Mm. Yep. Now, of course, like working with a company like Aerodyne, right? Which in our portfolio, we are earmarking as like one of the next largest companies that would emerge from it, is that we also see like folks like Kamarul really be on a show like this to give back and share his wisdom, mm. right? So that's what's going to make Malaysia's ecosystem succeed, mm. is that mm. it will compound. Mm. And it will compound because like the folks who have been here doing the work in the grassroots from a decade ago continue to be engaged with the newcomers who come. And then anyone who's joining the ecosystem now, whether you're a startup or you're a tech partner or a government agency or initiative, if we work together, if we kind of leverage off each other's lessons and learnings, mm. the compounding effect happens, mm. right? And when that kind of compounding effect happens, then that's where you kind of see like, oh, wow, Malaysia's are suddenly so prominent, you know, like where did that come from? Like that's because there's been decades of collaboration.
Right. Yep. Kamarul, I remember speaking to you years ago. Yeah, I don't know how many years ago it was, but when you consider the evolving tech ecosystem now and the investment landscape in Malaysia and Southeast Asia, how do you think a tech startup like yourself can position themselves to thrive and contribute to this environment?
Right. Well, I think the first thing is actually about you yourself. I mean, we ourselves have to be delivering something that makes business sense. Right? I mean, if you develop a solution that impact others, impact the community, impact the world, then you can grow, right? And like Kylie said just now, it's about then sharing the experiences because entrepreneurial journey is not easy. Mm. It's not for the faint-hearted. Mm. You know, it's all really about Have you heard about the onion theory? It's like you got peering off one challenge after another, right? Yeah. And that's actually where most startup would fail. When you hit that brick wall, this is it. A lot of them do not know how to get out of it. Mm. So startup founders need to get together, work together with the investors, with the community, and we can always find our way out. Mm. You know, where to go, what to evolve in terms of solutions. And of course, when you talk about evolve, you need to pivot all the time because the world changes at unprecedented speed today.
Especially now. Yeah, it's crazy.
Absolutely, right? And then this sharing these experiences and helping each other, a shoulder to cry on, I think that's the way the community can thrive.
Right.
And of course, there's a lot of other things as well. This is from startup to startup kind of angle.
Are you crying less now than Cameron, do you think?
new type of tears.
Different type of tears, absolutely. Different type of tears.
Okay, Pete, can I just jump over to you then?
So like, tears of joy and success, by the way.
Onion tears.
I assume so.
That's a good one.
So when we look at Malaysia's unique market, and I would say it is, you know, how do you tailor your solutions to meet these specific needs of local businesses and industries?
So from working backwards from each and every customer that we have, so AWS has over, 200 different services that make up the AWS cloud. Now, they range in many different forms from storage, a service that we call S3, or compute services, for an example, one that we call EC2. And each of these different services can be cobbled together as Lego blocks to build whatever, to go back to Prof's word, whatever makes business sense. Mm. So we look at our services as being able to come together to create somewhat like, another one of our customers shared last year in a session I did with him. He talked about AWS and, cloud being somewhat a playground. You can build what you need to work backwards from whatever business idea, whatever opportunity, whether that be a hyper-local solution that is, very, very specific to something that might be in Malaysia, that might be an opportunity. And a good example of that would be QR Retail Automation, a born-in-Malaysia technology company that works really specifically with retail and the retail industry. And they shared last year some work that they've done with AllPro Pharmacy here in Malaysia to just improve in inventory management, warehouse automation, et cetera, leveraging a SaaS solution for retailers here in Malaysia. Or these solutions can be, these services that AWS offer can be pulled together and built into technology or software that is going to help power the next generation of growth for the world's number one drone technology company, being Aerodyne, who have, and I'm not going to get in trouble with Cameron for saying this, they have ambitions beyond Malaysia and they have success beyond Malaysia as well. And from our perspective, we see our role to work very, very closely with local companies to ensure that the services that we build, they themselves, each service wouldn't be localized, but the way that we come together and work with our customers will be very localized to help them grow in Malaysia, grow across borders, or grow across both. And I think that's sort of one of the biggest value propositions of cloud technology and AWS in particular, is this ability to go global in minutes. And I mean minutes. And that's really, really important to us when we think about how we support customers.
Mm-hmm. How important to you, Carol, was it, that the ability to go global quickly?
Right. I mean, we started to go global since 2018.
Yeah.
And it's painfully slow.
Yeah,
I mean, it's exciting, but there's a lot of challenges that you need to do. You need to scale your own operations. So what we have done is actually to move from a physical drone flying play to a SaaS platform so that we can scale much faster. And us working together with AWS has helped us tremendously. I mean, within 2 months of us working together, we have connected to thousands of potential customers around the world already.
Hence the new type of tiers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so it's actually, and it's an enabler for us to grow. Mm. It's the next step of our evolution.
Mm. Okay, on that note, we have to take a short break here, folks. Of course, you are tuned in to Enterprise Explores. This is the show that helps you navigate the ever-changing universe of business. From the headlines to the bottom line, we're speaking about the state of the tech startup ecosystem and how the funding and investment narrative within this space has evolved over the years. We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Business, football, music. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome back to Enterprise Explores. It's the show that helps you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from headlines to the bottom line. We are speaking about the state of the tech startup ecosystem here with Pete Murray, the country manager at Amazon Web Services, Kamerul Mohammed, the founder and group CEO at Aerodyne Group, and of course, Kylie Ung, managing partner at 500 Global. I just want to come back to you, Kamerul, just to quickly pick up. Now, with your success, just to kind of reiterate how important these strategic collaborations are, like your partnership with 500 Global and with AWS, how does it help you amplify your impact within the region?
So collaborations is indeed the way to go, right? Because you can't do everything yourself. I just arrived this morning from China. It's all about making more connects around the world. From China, we're going to Germany. It's all really about getting the best talents that you can get,
right. The
best technology that you can get, and building it together. Like Kylie mentioned earlier, how do you multiply this together? Because 1 + 1 is not 2. It could be 11. It could be 10, right? Mm-hmm. So this collaboration is pivotal to our growth. Because if you want to be the best there is, you need to get the best of resource. You need to get the best of technology. Mm. And you want to work with the best client as well.
Yep.
Client that's willing to pay. Mm. Right? You want to work at the right market too.
Wherever
right?
they may be.
Wherever they may be.
Yeah, right,
and us working with AWS is opening channels for us to do that.
All right. So Kylie, you've got a decent portfolio of over 300 startups, right?
Well, in Southeast Asia, we've invested in over 300 companies. But globally, we're close to 3,000 already.
My word. Yeah. So obviously that speaks a lot about, the hard work you've been doing and the hard work within this region. Some of the key things that you might see before you go ahead and invest in a startup, how you would support their scaling in their journey? What would you say they were?
Yeah, I'll kind of answer that with connection to what Kamerul has shared and the topic of the day. What ultimately we'd like to see, not just 500 Global as an investment firm for us to return returns to our investors, but I think even for governments and even for founders themselves and community, we want to see some really large successes. Like you see what I'd call a nation-defining company. If you look at, say, Sweden and IKEA or something, people start associating the strength of a nation based on the champion companies that they, So you look at the US and you look at the top tech stocks, whether back then it was called FANGs and now, all of them rebranding by other acronyms, or you look at back then in China, BAT, like you see that the biggest tech companies, they define what the strength of the country is for better or worse, right? So for any country, including Malaysia, who are the next NDCs, the nation-defining companies? So when we study nation-defining companies in the tech scene around the world, we notice that the bigger the company gets, the larger their share of non-US revenue becomes. So if you're a $1 billion company, you're usually less than 20% listed on NASDAQ data, right? If you're $1 billion, if you go to $10 billion, then it goes up to 30%+. When you're $50 billion or above, it actually approaches 50%. Once you're $100 billion or more, you're definitely over 50%, right? Including Amazon, right? Which is the majority of its revenues actually non-US. So, outside of the e-commerce, of course, right? So we take away e-commerce. So when we look at the importance of global revenues, that's why for 500 Global, we invented a firm with global in our name. We spent 13, now going 14 years building our offices in a lot of these local areas because we'd like to see more Kamerul's, more Aerodynes emerge where you're number one in the world. Right, you're changing the world because you're actually impacting lives and customers all around the world. So for us, the partnerships with other global organizations like Amazon Web Services or encouraging our companies to think beyond in Southeast Asia, let's just expand into Indonesia. No, it's not the case. Right, I'll make one last point about this. If you look at our previous champions, like, let's say in Malaysia, like Petronas, which is one of the few companies that Malaysia has produced that is in the Fortune 500, right?
Yep.
They are in so many countries. And then the previous generation of Petronas leaders, they've gone to Sudan, they've gone to Azerbaijan, they've landed in countries where there are no airports to do business, right? They're just on landing strips, right? So I think that type of adventurousness in today's new business leaders, you have to be able to want to go where the best customers are, right? The quote Kamerul, right? They may be in a place that's not Indonesia or Singapore. What if they're in Sri Lanka? What if they're Bangladesh? What if they're in Lithuania or Poland, right? So that's kind of the thing. thing that we're trying to produce over here. And those partnerships are critical to that.
And AWS, I would imagine, you know, are also in these places as well, where there are no airstrips. You know.
We're in the business of providing IT services over the internet. So if the internet's there, we're there.
Right. So to come back to you, Cameron.
He's also the head of Papua New Guinea. Yeah. No, just kidding.
We are going to PNG next as well.
Is it?
Yeah, no kidding.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he does have customers.
See that? See that? Right, okay. Yeah.
So when we should talk.
Yeah. Let's do that. Yeah.
That's why we're here, right? Okay. So for fresh listeners at home who want to kind of delve into your tech and how has it been shaped by the unique demands of Southeast Asian market?
How did it
start there?
Right. Sure. Actually, our first solution was developed in Malaysia because we were solving how the power company in Malaysia managed their assets. Mm. In the past, they used helicopters or used people walking the line or truck, and it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. People fall, people actually get even died doing this business, right? So it took us 6 months to even let them come close to the assets. Mm. Really, because it is unprecedented. Nobody have done this. Hey, drone is dangerous. I mean, what happened if it crashed into our asset? 6 months of convincing. Mm. The next 6 months of us proving to them that it works. Mm-hmm. Immediately, within the first year, we save 20% of the cost. We accelerate the process 4 times faster. Mm-hmm. The rest is history. Mm-hmm. So we have done in Malaysia. We covered most of the work in Malaysia using us. Now we're going to Indonesia, to Africa, to Middle East, to Latin America, and so on and so forth. Mm. So it's really about proving your worth, proving your solution, right? And it takes a lot of work to actually do that.
And when AWS, when you look towards the future as well, I mean, obviously back then, Cameron kind of hit a point in history where he knew that this was going to be something and it was going to take off.
Yep.
No pun intended. But when you look at like emerging tech trends right now, obviously the big word on the street is AI and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
We spoke about that forever.
Sure.
But when you look at these trends, what do you see that is, I guess, particularly relevant in Southeast Asia? Is there something that sticks out in this region that it has a potential to move bigger?
Yeah, look, there's two or three things. Artificial intelligence and machine learning is not going anywhere. And whilst we would say that we're at the beginning, you know, in the first couple of 100 meters of a marathon, it is inevitable that these technologies have the opportunity to reshape the way a lot of certainly larger enterprise businesses do a lot of their employee experience, their internal processing, their middle and back office processing, and it can really reshape the employee experience. We've got very high conviction that a lot of the use cases that we're seeing and working on now with customers are going to reshape and change the way people work. And that's a positive thing. Mm. It enables, you know, Malaysians in larger enterprises, ideally, to get as close to their customers and as close to whatever stakeholders and communities that they're working in as quickly as possible. And I think that's really where we're going to see emerging technologies reshape the way we work. Mm. Then I think specific to Southeast Asia, and this is where, you know, we like to work very closely with the likes of 500 Global because, you know, as Kylie said, they've been in this market for 13 years, invested in over 300 startups across Southeast Asia. You know, it's very important for us to listen to their perspective, listen to what they're seeing, and making sure that, yes, on a one-by-one basis, we're working with as many startups that we possibly can be, but also listening to, you know, the likes of 500 Global on what they're seeing and making sure that a lot of the technologies that we're seeing evolve and develop, and a lot of them are coming out of some of the larger markets, that we're able to not so much localize the services, but localize the support around them and make sure that we're delivering relevance and cost effectiveness as well. Cost effectiveness being super important here. And one area I would say in Southeast Asia that goes over and beyond advanced technologies like AI and ML is going to be still very highly convicted in the opportunity for Internet of Things and smart sensors, specifically in agritech. Mm-hmm. I think there is a lot more that can be done in agritech, specifically for plantations with regards to planting, with regards to fishery and full life cycle around a number of the fishing startups that we're seeing out of Indonesia and then hopefully out of more and more countries. There's a huge amount that can be done in blue carbon as well as aquaculture. And I think this is an area where if we loosely define that as green tech or agritech, this is an area where I do believe that IoT will continue to evolve and develop and define more and more businesses that emerge hyperlocal in Southeast Asia, but then will have relevance to other countries as well. Mm-hmm. Like what is developed in Indonesia can be hyper relevant for the Philippines and Malaysia because a lot of the same challenges will be issued. So, yes, AI and machine learning, absolutely 100%. But I do think in green tech, and agri-tech, there is a huge opportunity still for IoT and smart sensors, and we should continue to focus on those kinds of opportunities as well in this startup space.
Okay, hold that thought. Kylie, I know you're a big proponent of what he's been talking about. We'll pick up on that after these messages. Folks, we do have to take a short break here, of course. This is the show Enterprise Explores, where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business. From the headlines to the bottom line, we'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Enterprise Explores. I'm Rich Bradbury. It's the show that helps you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. Today, we're exploring the state of the tech startup ecosystem and how the funding and investment narrative within this space has evolved over the years. I'm speaking with Pete Murray, the country manager at Amazon Web Services Malaysia and Emerging Markets, Kamarul Mohamed, the founder and group CEO at Aerodyne Group, and of course, Kylie Ung, managing partner at 500 Global, a venture capital firm with $2.4 billion in assets under their management. Just for the break, of course, then, Pete, we were picking up on some of the things that you've seen in terms of potential trends around here in Southeast Asia. Kylie, when we've spoken to you before, agri-tech, green tech, these were the things that you were really like kind of keen on right now.
Yeah.
Right?
No, definitely. I think for if we're talking about the future right now and one of the big areas which are untapped, as far as agriculture is concerned, many countries in this region and around the world, they care about producing more of their own food locally, right? And food security, really big issue. But number two is also like people are excited about booming demographics, rising middle class that is present here and everywhere else, but they need to eat too, right? They need to eat proteins, they need like more leafy greens, and people want to eat well. So when you have these two things, like a necessity as well as like this two drivers of necessity combined, it's not like we can have extra land to farm overnight. Yeah. So if like a lot of smallholder farmers, which constitute most of agricultural producers, especially in this region, if they can't double the land overnight, you would have to double the productivity of the same land, right? You have to reduce the cost by double. So hence us investing in companies in Indonesia like eFishery from the early days and watching how they've used IoT, used sensors, used AI to actually extract so much yield, all the way to seeing similar models among in chicken. We've invested in similar agri-techs for chicken, for crabs, for shrimps. Mm. And closer to home for chili farms, for palm oil, productivity systems for palm oil estates. So and these are homegrown Malaysian companies as well. And then it leads you to Aerodyne, where recently when we took investors, international investors to visit Aerodyne, like Kamara was like graceful enough to show a lot of his agri-tech and increasing yield in paddy, right? Yeah. So I'll pass this over to Kamara, right? Because this is a great thing. We talk about the fourth industrial revolution. Who would have thought it'd be the agriculture revolution again,
Yeah. I mean, in fact, one of the key problems that we face in Malaysia is actually low productivity.
Yes.
I mean, it's there's a variable list of reasons as well. But if you know exactly what's wrong with it, you can intervene. Mm. And that's exactly what our technology can provide. So we use hyperspectral sensing, with a drone flying over it, and we do this periodically, we can actually already predict the yield. Yeah. And if we detect any problem, we can intervene well in advance as well.
Right.
So we have been increasing after year two. We double it.
This now is for paddy, right?
This is for paddy, yeah. just for paddy. And now we're doing a lot of other things as well. Durian plantation, the same thing. Mm-hmm. We have been able to increase their yield by 30%.
So when you're having these conversations with these farmers who have been doing it generation after generation one particular way, and then you come along with your fancy drone and you say to them, look, I can improve your yield by 30%.
They don't
believe. They just shake your head.
I'm shaking my head right now, right? They won't believe you. So you have to be creative.
Right.
So what we did was, okay, give me your land, let me run it for you, and I guarantee the return.
Right.
That's what we did the first 2 years.
And then they just went, okay.
Then, all right, let's do it. So you need to prove it to them. It was a bit of a gamble, but we believe in our tech.
Yeah. So how okay, well, let's look at, take that example then for these these paddy farmers who are like reticent, let's say, of making decisions that they think might not be the right decision because they've been doing it so well. And so, when you look at like other tech entrepreneurs, though, who are interested in getting into this space, are interested in meeting up with people like Kylie and meeting with people like AWS, what kind of conversations do you have with them about how this is the way you should be speaking to people, this is what you should be doing, this is the direction that you should be taking?
It's always about, it's not tech for tech's sake.
Right.
I mean, a lot of founders that I met, they are so passionate about technology, they got so excited about things, but what's the value that you're creating? You always want to look at from the perspective of you making that disruptive change to the world, right? Whether it's a small thing as doubling the output or reinventing new AI that can...
It's not a small thing, Cameron. Yeah. You're doubling their output, right?
Yeah. I mean, even 20-30% is big as well, right?
But
it's huge.
Can be life-changing for
farmers. Life-changing, right? So the idea here is really about thinking and finding solution on how you can actually improve things. We also, at the same time, we work with other players, other tech companies within the ecosystem. We work with another company called CarboTech, you know them as well.
Yes.
So they actually help with the chlorophyll level so that we can actually be able to get better yield as well. And at the same time, we use all kind of other technology as well.
Brilliant.
We do the remote sensing, we do the mechanization, we use our AI to do the prediction. You can thrive when you create a great ecosystem. No one player can do this.
When you entered that space, Camera, was that your method of thinking? We want to go in, we want to change things this dramatically, or was it, you know, originally, was it just, I want to create a drone company?
No, it's really, I mean, when we started Aerodyne, when I started Aerodyne, it's really about using drone as an IoT device.
Right.
Yep. No, nobody was using drone as IoT at that time. It's either military on one hand.
And people didn't know what the use cases were.
And on the other hand, people were using this for recreational. Then I was thinking, hey, I actually can use this as a device to capture data, positional data. And with the right sensors, I can gain deep insights into whatever it be, whether it's agriculture, whether it's assets, and so on and so forth. So we developed from there. So today, we have solutions for communication, for power line, and so on and so forth. It's really about disrupting change using this technology.
So when we look at solutions like this, you know, are there, do you see more Aerodynes popping up around here, Kylie?
The unifying theme over here is about increasing productivity.
Right.
And if we say like the old adage, like software eats the world, it's like it only eats the world to the extent that it multiplies productivity. And so our software has for that reason, right? So it can be like drones to get data that humans can't get. It can be like company like CarboTech in Malaysia that have like a IP that would increase photosynthesis. It could be like a plantation ERP, you know, that actually runs the ops better. It could be IoT that helps feed with more precision so you use less feed. Let your imagination run wild. How else can we increase the productivity of the very same farmer? So once you have that theme, And for us at 500, when we look at this, it's not just a theme for investing in just startups. So we're trying to not invest in a startup. We're trying to invest in an industry, right? We're trying to create value in an entire industry. And we believe that it's similar to how like AWS looks at for AgriTech. We see that this is the next big industry. And we want to bring a constellation of solutions to any one crop, to any one local state government even, or maybe some kind of large corporate to say, look, I've got all these types of crops, I've got all these kinds of estate, let's go big. let's kind of establish a lab. Right. Let's kind of see which of these startups work in what ways, right? So that way, like Aerodyne, 500, and a few other companies, we come together to double, like not just 20%, 30%. Let's keep experimenting till we get it double, right? And so that's where if Amazon Web Services, now that I know that Pete's totally into this as well, you know, like, let's get, you know what I mean? We can really put together a very valuable offering that builds nations, that builds industries.
Okay, let's take a short break. Folks, you are tuned in, of course, to Enterprise Explores. It's the show that helps you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. We'll be right back after these messages here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Boyish 40-something millionaires. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Good afternoon. It's me, Rich Bradbury, and welcome to the fourth section of this show on Enterprise Explores, a show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. We're exploring the state of tech, of the tech startup ecosystem, and how the funding and investment narrative within this space has evolved over the years. And helping me with this conversation, if you're only just joining us, shame on you, is Pete Murray, the country manager at Amazon Web Services Malaysia and Emerging Markets, Kamarul Mohammed, the founder and group CEO at Aerodyne Group, and of course Kylie Ung, the managing partner at 500 Global. Pete, I want to come back to you.
Sure.
When you look at the community behind Amazon's reInvent thing, right? How do you see like these international events fostering collaboration and innovation within the Malaysian tech ecosystem?
Yeah. So AWS's reInvent, which is held every year at the end of November, start of December, is really a learning festival. And it's an educational event that focuses on, you know, globally relevant companies, partners, customers who are doing some amazing things leveraging AWS technology. But it also is our sort of annual centerpiece where we make a lot of our announcements. So we announce new services that we've launched, like Amazon Q that was launched last December. And we were really, really proud. As it is actually, you know, a real moment of pride, not just for the people who are in the room on the day, but also for my whole team back here at AWS Malaysia, that we were able to globally announce our partnership between AWS and Aerodyne and really leverage our partnership to put the eyes of the world on Aerodyne and the amazing things that, you know, Kamarul and his team have been doing since they founded and launched, and more importantly, what they're going to do next. And I think, you know, it was great to be in that room, but it was also good fun for me to see Kamarul interviewed by Spanish television as well. So that was a good test for him. So that was great. But I think what these events do is they bring communities together. And the way that we think about events at AWS is get communities together, get people in the room, and get people networked. So yes, there'll be presentations, and you know, different pitches and different customers and partners talking about what they do. But what we really want to do is we want to foster community building. And then we listen to people like 500 Global who say, do it this way, don't do it this way, focus on this thing. This is going to be it. And we work backwards from the advice that we'll get from really experienced partners such as 500 Global, and then work backwards from, all right, how can we use our events to profile and build the likes of Aerodyne? It's not about sort of showing off AWS, it's about showing off our customers and showing off our partners. That's super important to us, and especially here in Malaysia. And, you know, on the 24th of April, we're running at the Asia School of Business, we're running the Malaysia Startup Day, where the CIO of Amazon, Werner Vogels, he'll be keynote speaking there, and a number of different panels, and I know 500 Global's involved. Thank you again, Kylie, for all your support. But a number of different startups will be profiled and speaking and sharing their journey. And we've had a couple of developer and user groups that we've run in the last 12 months in Johor, in Penang, but to be vocally self-critical, we're not doing enough here. And I really want AWS to do more in terms of how we can look at community building initiatives, which are in East Malaysia, which are on the east coast of Malaysia as well. How do we push into the developer and the user groups in these communities, bring more skills, education, stories, inspiration, and also just raise awareness of what is available to founders, what is available to business leaders in the SMB space as well, right? It's super important that we get the word out there of programs like AWS Lift, which, you know, invests in credits for customers who are adopting cloud technology to modernize their business. So we have, really big ambitions. We're launching a region in the country, which, you know, data centers here in Malaysia, which represents a 25.5 billion ringgit investment over, you know, a period up to 2037 in Malaysia. And that means we have to make sure that we're reaching as far and as wide across the country as we possibly can. So we're looking for good ideas. Doors open to good ideas as always. And yeah, we're really, really, you know, looking forward to sort of getting a bit better of how we push the message and education out, you know, out further and further.
I might know a couple of fellas. I think you do. I think one of the issues that we've having, and we kind of briefly spoke about it during the break, and you did mention it there, is we tend to talk to companies and startups that seem to be KL-centric, and we seem to be putting on events that seem to be KL-centric. Kylie and Cameron, just to get a kind of an opinion from you, what do we need to do, you know, in terms of these events? How far do we need to be reaching out, you know, and how do we get these people involved who might think that they're isolated, they might feel a little bit like that?
Cameron's going to fly a drone there.
Well, actually, we already have 6 branches around the country as well. And it's also our training center. We've been training people on drones, on AI, on IoT and stuff, right? So, and guess what? There's a lot of interest and traction in the remotest part of the country as well. In Sabah, in Sarawak, in Kedah, a lot of excitement happening in all those regions.
Yeah, I think there is I think what has to work from the standpoint of market forces, and if we observe, say, if I use the word physics of market forces, right, is that you need the dance of concentration and centralization to work with the dance of decentralization and inclusion. So what do I mean, right? Now, the concentration to have Amazon Web Services as a market leader allows it to have the abundance of resources to give back. That's why they can spend on and invest in the countries like Malaysia. They can invest in the edges of Malaysia and really push into including as much people as possible. Now, if, let's say, Amazon was not as it was not a market leader, then maybe it would have other priorities. Right now, when you look at like Aerodyne is a market leader in the world, so it has a concentration of talent. People want to work there because if you're interested in AI, computer vision, or drones, like Aerodyne is top choice, right? So they become a talent magnet, and you see that concentration effect. Okay, now then it's up to the people who are the leaders to actually reach out to have their presence to be additive to everywhere else, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why you've got 6 training centers out there. And here at 500, like we instead of Truti Truti Malaysia, as we call it, we have like Geja Geja Malaysia, where our teams go out. We've been to Penang, we've been to Kuantan, we've been to Ipoh, we go Sabah, Sarawak, because we need to go where the talent is, and we do believe that talent's there. And we have found companies we've backed there. We've got a company in Kuantan, and Kuantan Made, Kuantan Born, Kuantan Concentrated, Nikah Satu, they're called. So they are... So their wedding platform like has trains people to be in like the wedding industry, to provide wedding venues called Rumah Habang Jamil, actually.
That's the one.
So they're very profitable, they use loans, and then like parents bring the kids, say, hey, can you please employ my children, right? And so that way you create jobs that are in Kuantan, right? Beautiful. We invested in a company in Ipoh. They did 40 million ringgit in revenue selling gaming chairs. Mom, brother, founder, you know what I mean? They don't even have a KL office even, and profitable, right? So I think these gems exist, right? So for me, it's upon me to tell these stories, right? Because the talent exists everywhere. And I'm just giving you the Malaysian example, but we've invested as far as places in Africa, you know, and other places around the world, because it's our duty. If you can put yourself in a place where you have market leaders, then you can use the resources from the market leadership to actually bring along everybody else. Now, what some folks get wrong is they try to crush market leadership too soon. Right? And they say, hey, we need to, I mean, I'm all for creating competition. It's really part of the capitalist game for things to work, right? But the thing is that if you don't have concentration and leadership, is that how are you going to give back? Like, you don't have a concentration of resources and vision to do so. It's like having a country without a capital city.
Gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you all today. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I have been speaking to and hearing from, of course, Pete Murray, the country manager at AWS Malaysia and Emerging Markets, Cameron Mohammed, the founder and group CEO at the Aerodyne Group, and Kylie Ung, the managing partner at 500 Global. If you did miss any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on our website at bfm.my or download the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also hear us on Spotify and all other places. Just search for Enterprise Explores. My name is Rich Bradbury for BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.